Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. From ghouls to ghosts to zombies to anything else that might be lurking in the realm of the paranormal, we have tales of it all here in this series. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. This is the longest running series on this channel, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon with how many stories you guys keep sending in. If you have a story you would like to share and hear in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories that can't quite be explained by reasonable logic. It was a nice sunny day in California. I was about 23 years old when this happened, if I do believe so. I was outside in my yard. It's not a very big yard, but it's perfect for my tiny terrier to roam. I have a white picket fence, and beyond that is a thick forest area. This house had a history of being haunted, apparently, but I'm not really one to believe in any of that stuff. So, being a nice guy, I baked cookies and brownies and all kinds of baked goods for my neighbors. Going around the neighborhood, giving them to houses next to me, almost every single one of them praised me on how brave I was to move here alone. Being me, I took them as compliments and not thinking much of it. Walking back to my house, I noticed my front door is open. My dog has always been an escapee, so I pushed it off as him running off. Luckily, I have a GPS on him, so I just took a look at my phone to find him. When I did, he showed up in the yard. I went and looked, and there he was. Smiling, I picked him up, forgetting about the door swaying, I just left it open. Later, feeding my dog the kibbles he loves, I hear the bowl being scarfed down like no tomorrow. I was watching TV when my dog comes up to me and paws at me like he wanted something. I handed him a bone. He trots off happy. I get up to set the bowl up because he chews in it. It was full, like it was untouched. Confused, I dumped the food back into the bag, saying he'll probably eat it later. 2 or so hours later, I pour the food again, and you hear him scrambling like some sort of wild animal to eat. I sit my butt down, hearing him scarf it down again. After he jumps up on the couch to come sleep, I get up to look and the bowl was still full. I was confused. I just left it out because I was done. I didn't know what else to think. Lying in bed, I hear creaking on the floor, although my dog was in bed with me, kind of scared. I tried to sleep only to hear my door be pushed open. I yell,
"Who's there?"
to see only an open door and nothing else there. Nothing else seemingly happened for the rest of the night, and I never really got any sleep. A few nights go by and nothing happens. I had already forgotten about what happened till I had my friends over having a drink. I have never really been a heavy drinker, as I am the babysitter to my friends, but I still have fun. Knowing that what happens in this house, mercy had to be real. My friends are blackout drunk and I'm chilling at the kitchen table watching one of my friends sleep on the couch to make sure he was breathing. Out of the corner of my eye, I see something move. Thinking it was my dog being jealous of me not paying attention to him, I walk over with a bone to give. When I get there, I see nothing. I walk back to the kitchen, seeing a faint shadow moving. I'm not the strongest person, so I got a bit upset with my drunk friends, thinking that maybe they were messing around. But when I looked around, they were all sleeping, and I just couldn't put these pieces together. I didn't have any more than one shot of whiskey that night, so I was still legal to drive. I don't know. I still to this day have no idea what I saw. I don't know if it was a ghost, a demon, or whatever, but whatever was in that house was creepy. I moved out not too long after that, simply because I just could not take how creepy that house felt. This story is kind of on the paranormal spectrum, and I am unsure of how scary it is, but it is scary in the sense that this can happen to anyone. I will need to provide some background information before I get into this for things to make sense, so please bear with me. My mother used to be a smoker for most of my life. She wanted to quit, but it took quite a while for her to do so due to how addictive cigarettes are. Most of our family has had problems with them as well. She quit when I was 8 because she was worried about my future. We thought that was the end of it. She started back a couple of weeks later and had to quit again. Thankfully, she was able to. A few months later, she was hospitalized, put on a ventilator, and everyone was telling me that she was going to die. Even the doctors and my stepdad who took care of me were not in good faith. Eventually, Mom got out and was put on oxygen. This was 24/7. She eventually had to carry canisters of it with her. We found out she had stage 4 COPD, and less than 1/4 of her lungs were functioning properly. I and my stepdad took care of her until she passed 4 years later in March of 2016, so it was up to me to take care of her. My other 5 siblings were hardly around and honestly just terrible people in my eyes. Even to this day, I cannot stand to look at them. Fast forward to late 2018. Mom had been seemingly better for a while despite needing a bit of help here and there, but this is where her health began to rapidly decline. She was sitting on the couch completely zoned out. It was like she was in a completely different world. She was not responding at all for a while, but eventually she did. We had a family member take her to the hospital because she just did not seem right. She stayed for a few weeks and the doctor figured out what was wrong with her upon her release. They would discuss how they could take action to correct it. The next few weeks she did better, seeming as though she had improved. I was enjoying my usual evening, playing video games. At the time, I felt fine, until there was a knock at my door. A family friend had come over to talk with my mom, and she was zoned out again. They did not know what to do, so they came and got me. I threw my headset down and rushed into a room to see what the heck was going on. She was sliding into the floor and her words hardly made any sense. She really had me worried. They ended up leaving and I stayed with my mom until I could help her come back into her right state of mind. She snapped out of it after a while and I felt so relieved. I told her she should get some rest and she agreed. She had gotten to the point in her health that she could not tuck herself in without running out of breath, so she did not do much. I did practically everything for her and did not mind if it helped. She was honestly probably the only person I had in my life. I woke up the next day and began my daily routine. I went to the bathroom when I got up and then went to check on Mom. She was still not awake even though it was noon. I thought nothing of it honestly and went ahead to start my schoolwork because I was homeschooled at the time. After I finished my classes for the day, it was around 4 p.m. I tried to wake her again but she did not get up. I called my brother to see what I should do, explaining the situation to him. He said, "You know, Mom, she sleeps in sometimes. She's probably fine." I replied with a simple, "Yeah, I'm probably just overreacting." We talked for a bit longer and then hung up. I was honestly still worried about it, but I pushed my emotions away. I went into my room and called my boyfriend on Discord, and we talked until about 8:30. I then heard my mom call my name. So I thought she was awake. The house was rather quiet though, so I walked in to see what she wanted. When I walked into her room, it was eerily quiet. The whole time I had this overwhelming feeling of unease. I entered her room and she of course was still asleep, so to me, I was confused in how she called my name. I kept trying to wake her, but she did not budge. I shook her a bit, tried talking to her until panic began to set in. My calm speaking turned into a frantic screaming and sobbing. "Mom, this isn't funny. Mom, please get up. It's 8. Mom, please wake up." Eventually, running out of options, I called my brother, who was right over, and proceeded to call the police. The 911 operator tried to get me to do CPR, which I tried to move her body to the floor to do. When I tried this, I realized that she had gone stiff and she was freezing, as if she had turned to stone. I was a stupid kid. I should have realized then and there. She smelled horrible, just the scent of decay. The ambulance arrived, but at the wrong house, so I had to abandon her and sprint off down the street after them. I caught up and told them that they were at the wrong house. I led them to Mom, and I stayed outside of her room. After about a minute or two, they stepped out and they said the words that still haunt me. "I'm sorry, she's gone. There's nothing more we can do. She's been dead for at least 10 hours, maybe more." I could hardly believe this. I had just heard her call my name. I broke down and called my brother to give him the news, and it was the first time in my entire life that I've seen or even heard him cry. Everyone was devastated, and I was honestly traumatized. I could not sleep for days and stopped eating for a bit as well. She seemed fine, and no one expected this because she was getting better. We did not celebrate Christmas because of how much this devastated the family. I had to share this story because it's the scariest experience that I've ever had. But the moral of the story is that we can all go at any moment. Cherish every second you have because it may be your last. I mainly just wonder, was her calling my name, her letting me know she was gone? The strangest shadow person thing happened to me when I was 16 years old. I am 55 years old now and I still remember this like it happened yesterday. I woke up in the nighttime, sat up bolt upright as people do in the horror movies. But not from a nightmare. That was the thing. I do not know exactly what woke me up, but I knew immediately something was wrong. Then, in the furthest corner of my room, I saw this whitish mist or fog, swirling like a slow dervish. Have you ever opened a door to a freezer that was set to like negative 70 or something, and you see all the mist come out? It was similar to this. It looked to me like there was tiny figures standing in the mist. For a moment, I thought it was my mother, but then decided no, not her. I mean, it was not even that short. My mother was a bit taller than me, and of course, my mother had zero reasons to be standing in the corner of my room in the dead of night. I was just staring at this thing, thinking, good grief, what could this thing be? And the next moment, there was this tall, pitch black shadow man standing right next to my bed, easily 6 foot tall or so. It was so black, like nothing you have ever seen, and yet, there was inside that pitch black silhouette, charcoal gray, in light mist swirling around all at the same time. Here is the insane bit. I lay down in my bed and looked up at him. You would think any sane person would let out a blood-curdling shriek and immediately soil the bed, right? Even as it was happening, I was just thinking to myself, why am I not terrified, or even just wary or afraid? But I was curious as all heck. I wanted to see this thing's face. It just stood there, staring down on me. But this down-tilted face was pitch black. No swirling mist in the face like the rest of the body. I was squinting and straining myself half cross-eyed, trying to see any bit of detail in his face. But no, just pitch blackness was there. Then another insane thing happened. I suddenly started feeling really, really exhausted, like there was 10 pounds of pressure on my eyelids. I felt like I could not keep my eyes open a minute longer. but it was like something was telling me deep down that this was a special, once-in-a-lifetime thing. This was a precious and strangely rare encounter I was having. But try as I might, I could not fight the sleepiness. So, as I still was looking up at him, I sent him a message telepathic-like. I don't know, but it felt like the wrong thing to do. Essentially, I was apologizing for not being able to stay up any longer. Then I turned my back to him and felt myself drifting off into sleep. But as I drifted off, I could still feel him standing there, staring at me. Almost 40 years later, and I could still remember this like it was yesterday. Very few days go by without me thinking of this. It was special, and it was precious in a way that I do not understand. But it was also a pretty scary experience that I don't think I'll fully ever be able to explain.
Hey Swamp, my name is Ray. I'm a 24-year-old from Western Pennsylvania, and I've experienced some weird stuff. I am Romani on one side of my family. That's Gypsy for those of you who do not know the term. And Norse. Yes, that means Vikings, on the other side. Also, I'm adopted, which only matters because I mentioned my Native American grandmother. This information is important because it is why I've had so many strange experiences. I will tell just a few stories in this. It's probably going to be pretty lengthy. The main people who know these stories are my friends. A lot of people, psychics, pagans, and so on, have said that I have a foot in both worlds, and that's why I have so many experiences. I have more stories, but these are the more intense ones. If you want to share them in different videos or all together, that is fine. I broke them up as best as I could. The first part of this story starts with my childhood, where I lived from ages 2 to 16, and then from ages 16 to now. I am almost 25. When I was little, I used to have conversations with people that were not actually there. My grandmother said when I would stay the night at her home, she would hear me talking to people. It freaked her out, which I cannot blame her for. Before I was 4, we had 4 major family losses within 2 years, 3 grandparents and an uncle. My grandfather died in my grandmother's house, in the living room. In the late 80s, they had a neighbor who was murdered by her nephew for money. She was an addict. My grandmother, even though she is Christian, is a spiritual woman. She is more than half Native American. She told my parents about the conversations I would have in that house, but my parents were more skeptical and chalked it up to me being an imaginative child. Growing up, visiting my grandmother's house, my elder cousins almost always refused to stay in the house because they had thought it was haunted, especially the basement. I will get into that more later though. My childhood home was a trailer in the country. We were sort of in a triangle with the neighbors, living in a small country area. We were all pretty close. I grew up with one neighbor's grandkids, who were babysat by the other neighbor's kid. We would visit each other's house almost daily. We were like a weird little family. However, when I was a child and even into my teens, I would see things in our trailer. We were the first people who ever owned it, and my parents had probably had it for 15 years before I came along. I would see shadow people and this evil demonic woman that would use the pictures and posters in my room to scare me. She had long, stringy hair and an elongated face. Kind of like the Scream painting. I was terrified of her. This led to me removing all paintings and posters, RIP Lion King poster, until I was a bit older. She stopped showing up eventually. We also removed my closet door because of my fear. Another ghostly interaction was with these 2 children, a boy and a girl. Now that I am older, I cannot remember their names or faces exactly. But they were my friends, my playmates. My parents thought, again, that I was being imaginative. Many years later, I was told of a murder on the property. A man killed his son and daughter in their bedroom, shot the wife, and killed himself. I could never find anything about it, though. I did not have enough information to be able to know that it was connected. One of the last memorable strange things that happened in the trailer was one summer night, I was in my bed crying while all my family was out by the bonfire. I suffered from depression and had recently had something bad happen. I was considering relapsing and self-harm, but was lying in bed having a breakdown. My dad was on the opposite wall from where the door is, facing the window. I was laying in my bed facing the window. I heard work boots coming down the porch and heard the front door open, and I assumed my dad was coming into the house. I held my breath to stop crying and laid there in silence, not wanting to upset my father, who was probably inebriated at this point of the night. The footsteps stopped in front of the door, lingered for a moment, and then left. This lasted about 2 minutes. However, once the footsteps left the porch, I realized something very important. My father would not wear his work boots out to the fire. He was almost always in flip-flops in the evening, and I just saw him not too long ago, and I know he was wearing flip-flops. There was no logical reason for him to put his boots on after wearing tennis shoes to mow and then changing into flip-flops. My grandfather, his father, on the other hand, would almost always wear his boots. Both my father, uncle, and grandfather were steel workers, so they needed protective boots. When I was 16, we decided to move into my grandmother's house to help take care of it and to keep the house in the family. It has been in the family since the 60s. Before us, it was owned by a few others, including the man who built it. He was supposedly hit by a car at the end of the road working. The house is old, though I cannot remember exactly how old. During the remodel, things got weird. Noises, things moving, falling, typical poltergeist type stuff. Often I would smell cigar smoke when none of us ever smoked. However, my grandfather that died did smoke. One time, I was in the basement, reaching for an old jar on the canning shelf that hadn't been used except for storage. My father's water wading boots both fell from their secured spot and hit me in the chest, knocking me backward. I was off to the side of the boots and was not even touching them. There was no reason for them to fall like that. Another basement occurrence. I was home by myself and came downstairs to tend to my mom's dog who wanted out. When I came back inside, it sounded like something was tearing through our basement. I called my dad freaking out and he told me to go around outside to check the cellar door. Maybe an animal got in. The door was latched and locked from the inside, so I knew that there was something wrong. I came back inside and I could still hear it. Being scared and around 19 years old, I grabbed a knife from the block. I do not know what I thought I was going to do with it, but it just made me feel a little bit better being inside alone with whatever that was. When my parents pulled into the driveway, it stopped. Complete silence. I was baffled. My dad went down and checked and said nothing was out of place and no animal was seen. That was impossible. I heard things falling and heard this thing running around. A while later, and I'm not sure how long because this is something my dad had said, the grandchildren of the owner came by to see the house and the remodel so far and said they liked it. After that, it stopped. Now, the only strange thing is smelling cigar smoke. I guess the old man who had built the house was finally at peace, potentially. I don't know. These are just some of the stories that I have, and I'll definitely share more in the future. But I definitely do want to say that there is weird stuff that happens in the country of Western Pennsylvania. My dad has had many run-ins with the entities of the dark from his childhood into his adult life. One story he told my little sister and I was when he was in his 30s. My mom and dad did not have the best relationship when I was growing up, so my dad leaving for a period was something not out of the ordinary. During this one period, my dad had left and was staying with my grandma and grandpa. They had a little house close to the mountains, which was about 12 miles away, maybe more. We lived in a city called Gallup, New Mexico. The story starts when my dad and his brother had hitchhiked into town to look for work and to help his brother sell the jewelry that he made. After a long day in town, they had decided to head home since no one at the time had a home phone, and their only form of transportation was walking. It had been early evening when they finally arrived at the dirt road that led home. The sun was setting fast, so my dad and his brother picked up their pace. Not wanting to walk home in the dark, as they were getting close to home, his brother had begun to walk at a faster pace. Wondering why his brother had started walking faster, he asked him, "Hey, why are you going so fast?" His brother looks at him with a stern look and said, "Just keep up." Quickening their pace, my dad began to hear voices coming from the trees. Not wanting to look in the direction where they were coming from, they ignored the voices for as long as they possibly could. Nearing home, my dad stopped and began to curse at whatever was stalking them. My dad stood there below the hill close to home, with unnerving quietness. He said he could hear his heart pounding in his ears. Looking in the direction where he had last heard the voice, he said it whispered his name. After that, he and his brother bolted the last few yards home. As they ran, my dad could hear this mysterious creature behind them. With the sound of bare feet pounding on the ground and getting closer, they began sprinting even harder, finally making it to the front door of the house. Before bursting through the front door, they stopped and looked back, expecting to see something on them. But they saw nothing. So, out of breath and adrenaline pumping, they looked at each other in confusion, wondering what the heck was going on. Now, the house my grandma and grandpa were living in was two rooms that did not have a lot of room for him or his two brothers. So they built a one-room shed next door, which they turned into a bedroom. Not wanting to know whatever had been chasing them, they quickly made their way to the one-room shed and locked the door. Exhausted from the day, and from being chased by whatever that thing was, they went to bed. Later that night, my dad had woken up for no reason. While he tried to go back to sleep, he suddenly began to hear what sounded like footsteps outside the shed, right where his bed was. Sitting up, he listened as the footsteps went around the shed. Then something more terrifying happened. The strange being began to make dry, heaving sounds like it was hacking something up. All the while it crept around the shed, he whispered his brother's name. After a few minutes, his brother whispered back and told him to ignore it and not pay attention to it, and it would go away. As he lay back down, trying to ignore the creature outside, it would circle around the shed, whispering him and his brother's name. After what seemed like forever, the creature made its way around the shed and suddenly jumped onto the roof, only to make its presence known. Finally, what felt like many hours later, it stopped. Bravely, my dad sat back up and strained his ears to see if he could hear anything. Taking one more look around the room, my dad noticed something from the corner of his eye, quickly turning his head. He saw a black shape staring through the window. It looked like a sheep's head, but the creature had hands, human hands, pressed up against the window. My dad shouted in Navajo, telling this creature it was not wanted here and to go away. The terrifying creature then stepped back and disappeared from his view. Sometime later, he had finally fallen asleep. Waking the next morning, he went to see his mom and dad and explained to them that they had experienced something really creepy. Recounting the experience to my grandma, they knew they had encountered a skinwalker. She told him to pray and bless himself with the smoke from the stove, but this would only help for a short time. This was only one of the stories my dad would tell us, warning us never to be out after dark, or you may just encounter something you can't explain. Thanks for listening to these creepy, unexplainable paranormal horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. I don't know about you guys, but the paranormal stories are some of my all-time favorites. A good ghost story is what essentially started this entire journey for me. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a story you can't explain or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it really helps me out a ton.
The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in its algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. We're on our way to 200,000 swamp-dwelling folk, so if you'd like to become part of the swamp and to help us reach that goal, be sure to hit the subscribe button. Helps out a ton. If you want to support the channel outside of liking, subscribing, and all that good stuff, you can check out the merch store, or maybe become a member on the channel. If you're not aware, you can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you anywhere you go. You can download those on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about anywhere else you find your favorite podcast. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. I couldn't be doing this without you guys. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.